Today is October 21st, 1987. My name is Tika Ward. I am interviewing Marie Zimmerman. We are at 428 West Ormsby Street, Louisville, Kentucky. Our topic is Actors Theatre of Louisville. Marie, did you and your husband rent the Arts in Louisville building?
Yes.
And this was at 519 Zane?
Right.
Was it Street?
Street, yeah.
Now, at some point in the early history of Actors Theatre of Louisville, when it was then Theatre Louisville, wasn't there some talk about actors purchasing the Arts in Louisville building?
Yes.
Now, what do you remember about that?
What I remember about it is that a young man named Steve Block, who was at the university, I suppose, had a brother who was very interested in doing theater, and he was always around at the restaurant anyway, because that's where things were happening in the arts. And he suggested to Leo Zimmerman, my husband, who was the director there, that we discuss plans for using a large space we had there for a theater, which would give us a combination dinner theater in the best sense, that is, there would be serious plays, but then there is a separate facility upstairs where you could have dinner later, not like the usual dinner theater up the steam table surrounded by a little theater. And my husband didn't think it was feasible, because by that time we'd been there several years and we had one or two summers of theater done by young people who wanted to do experimental works, and we knew all of the hazards and the costs and problems with running a theater. And at that time, our focus was not on doing theater in the Arts in Louisville. So he discouraged it because he thought it was not likely, and he just didn't want to be bothered seeing about it. However, over a period of weeks, or was it months, Steve kept wheedling away, and finally, in exasperation, I think, probably Leo said, all right, let's go look at the space. We will measure the space. You can look at it. We will do it if you want to, but I don't think you have a chance of doing it, because it's major. There are, this building is pretty old, and for fire hazards and so reasons, it would just, you're just talking about lots and lots of money. And at the time, we later learned that one of the Binghams, I thought it was worth, I now understand it was Barry Jr., were interested in backing a fund drive to buy this. So the owner of the building, from whom we were renting, Morris Borowitz, was approached, and unfortunately, he asked a very high price compared to what we knew him to have paid not very long before that. And I don't know whether he had paid 50 or 60, and we thought he should sell it for 90 or what, but everybody thought it was exaggerated to ask $120,000, which is what I believe it came, what he finally asked. And I remember that there was this fund drive. I don't remember what any of the events were. I think they just went to private individuals to get money, and the funds were held in escrow at one point. Then we learned that they'd only got up to $90,000, and Mr. Borowitz would not negotiate, and so the deal was dead. And that's the last we heard of it for a while, until we heard that the Ewell Cornett, was it? Yes. Was he the one that was originally in on getting he and Richard both?
Well, Richard came here and started Theatre Louisville, and then Ewell came about a year and a half later and started Actors Incorporated.
Well, where was Theatre Louisville located?
It wasn't located.
It was just a name.
Exactly.
That's what he's probably had his brother and everybody else he knew out scouting places that might work.
Because they were looking for a home.
But this was close to downtown. It was close to the Memorial Auditorium, which at that time was the only place for concerts and all the major theatrical events occurred. And we had a lot of people who would come over after. It was a wonderful place to go for an after theater performance. They would walk over from the Memorial, one-stop parking, and then they could have dinner or drinks and talk over the performance. So it would have been it was a logical center, and there was good space and parking and so forth around too. So I suppose that maybe the main focus was on it. We just were not involved in the theater movement itself.
How long were you all there at Arts in Louisville, you and Leo?
Well, we were there from 61 to 65.
And how did Arts in Louisville start?
Oh, that's a very long story. I'll have to tell you that another time.
But you had a publication.
We had a publication. We started with a magazine of the arts, which included articles about the arts and a calendar. My husband bought a printing press and a linotype machine, did the whole thing at first about setting the type and getting help from his friends, people who wrote for the paper, people who were in the arts who wanted to write for no money. And we went out and scrambled for some ads and put out the magazine for about a year and a half. And then we were located on Fifth Street near Zane. Arts and Liberal House was at Fifth and Zane, which is just a tiny half block from Fifth and Kentucky, and that, where the memorial is, if you visualize all this. All right, so this big old rambling structure became available for rent. And my husband got the idea that this would be a great project. It was a terrific project, but it was very, very time consuming and very costly. Only a man really driven and very talented, like Leo was at that time, could have pulled it all together. So,
you all also had a restaurant there.
Well, the restaurant was there, yes. They had an art gallery and a restaurant. And then, as I say, a certain space was put aside for, I think, two summers. We had theater because there would be young people who went away to school who were theater majors who came back and wanted to have a place they could put on their experimental plays. But mainly it served as a meeting place for people after arts events. We had lots of various small entertainments up there. We had jazz. We had wonderful jazz and folk music.
I can remember going there. My father Jasper used to take me, and I can remember going there. Hal Tenney told me that he had his store Port au Call there.
Yes.
Did he rent that then from Mr. Borowitz?
No, he rented it from us. He sublet from us.
I see.
I believe. It's really kind of vague in my mind, but he opened this store, I guess, a couple of years after we were there. It was lovely, arty things and art objects and art supplies, maybe. I don't know. All sorts of things.
What did the building look like on the outside?
Oh, it's a big frame building. Two-story. And it's right at the foot of where Fifth Street dead ends. You know, until it picks up.
Did this place burn down?
Yes.
And when did that happen?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Was it very
long
ago?
It was in the late 60s. Yeah. It didn't burn. It was a marvelous building because it didn't burn all the way down. It had to be pulled down. The fire equipment got there. We all went. People from all around came. The mayor was there. Everybody watching this blaze because a lot of people had a good time there. I was in the grocery store at 4th and Oak, and somebody said, "Your place is burning," although it hadn't been our place for several years.
Was it still Mr. Borowitz's?
Yes. Uh-huh. But that was...
So papers were never signed, they raised an amount of money, and it wasn't enough, and Borowitz said, that's it.
He would not negotiate, so the money was returned.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We have one article here dated October 25th, 1964, and this is saying that it was an old Louisville landmark. Did you all receive landmark status?
I guess it was. I don't think they had landmark status.
They just called it that.
It was a Louisville landmark. But let's see, who gave us the committee was, and who gave us permission? Were the landmark...
The Mayor's Citizens Advisory Committee mm-hmm. for Community Development.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a big deal in those days, do you think?
I guess. We weren't terribly political in any way. We just went about our negotiations for our building on a private level, but obviously if you get people like the Binghams and the power structure people around, they know which committees, which government organizations they had to approach. And they got all a good solid backing, apparently. We had 76-year-old Billy. Ooh. And then your father, Jasper Ward, who was known then as doing wonderfully innovative things and being very bright, and the person who, if anybody could do it, and who not only was very able, but he had an interest in the arts and was extremely open and approachable. And it's too bad. I remember seeing this and looking at this. I do remember this theater sketch. And we were simply amazed that these very serious people were going about it in a very serious way. I'm very sorry that didn't happen.
On March 5th, 1964, mm-hmm. they had a meeting there with Barry Jr. and Henry Altman and Jasper mm-hmm. Ward, and they met Morris Johnson of mm-hmm. the Cincinnati's Playhouse mm-hmm. in the Park. Do you remember that meeting?
Don't remember the meeting.
Again, it was held at Arts in Louisville.
Yes. Well, we had lots of meetings there. I mean, different groups. But and we were not pushing it. Leo was very laid back about the whole thing, and because he was just thought it was a very, very unlikely to succeed project, and he'd worked hard at a lot of things, a lot of dreams that hadn't come true. However, as we got closer to it, he got more interested in it, and I really think it was after that fail that he felt, and I agreed with him, that we got about as far as we could in this nonprofit venture, which was costing us lots of time and money, and which we were making no money. And at that time, there were no funds. There was no kind of subsidies, anything outside the Ford Foundation, which wasn't subsidizing arts groups, let me say. And so except for the people who had been our original charter members, there was no other, there was no backing, there was no support. So we were in a kind of tight situation, and after 5 years of very hard work and very interesting work, doing what we like to do, when this thing, which had seemed to be a bright new hope, fell through, Leo's interest waned definitely, and we turned the organization over to his assistant, a woman who thought that she could do certain things, maybe more popular things than we did, and make it a profitable nightclub, entertainment place with jazz and things. But it was strange. It didn't take 2 months till the place did not. It's funny the difference that running someone's stamp on a place can make. She was perfectly a capable person, but it just looked different. And of course, it looked different to us, naturally, because we continued to go over. We were delighted that it was still going because we could go over and enjoy, see our friends, and not
have fun.
Yes, at last, we were free.
It was a great place
of the responsibility, but it did not flourish, and so she took bankruptcy eventually. She tried everything she knew to do, but it just wasn't, there wasn't the turnover, at that time too, it was interesting. More restaurants and things were opening. When we opened it, there really wasn't much of a place for bohemian Louisville to go to, and again, being near the memorial was a good thing. But then other things started happening. The coffee house era started, and there was a place on 3rd Street called the 1880 Club. I don't know if you ever heard of that, a Victorian house. That was kind of jazzy for them. That pulled a few people. And there was only a certain amount of public that's going out, or was going out in the evening, spending their dollars. And they as the possibilities for going out and finding interesting things to do tonight grew, the exotic quality of arts in Louisville maybe subsided, and people wanted to go try the new places also. Leo had instituted a policy of racially integrated membership, which was new. There was no other club that we knew of, and certainly no restaurants, which had black and white people at the bars and at the, and while a lot of people, we had a lot of black members, and everything went very well, in spite of warnings from the police, there were a lot of people who said, we don't mind, but the cousin so-and-so from Alabama doesn't want to come up here because they're not used to being in restaurants where there are black people. Are you going to have trouble at the bar? There'll be a fight or something. And so I'm afraid it did nick some of the growth. It stimulated other people who were very pleased and endorsed it tremendously, and they wanted to see it supported. It probably did not help it grow financially, actually. But there was never any regret about that. But just apropos of the kind of decline in interest, I think it was both the fact that the novelty had somewhat worn off and that there were more places to go, plus the fact that there was this little thing. This was the time when people were standing in, I don't know, you probably don't remember, there were demonstrations in front of restaurants where civil libertarians stood outside to protest places like the Blue Boar and the Hasenauers and like that, who did not take black customers. So that was, it was an interesting time. And then just such thing as the Actors Theater starting was symptomatic of young people from the wealthy family, what we call the arts, the young barons of the arts community, who were coming back to town after the war, settling out after their educations in the East, who were coming back, who wanted, all, like we did, to see more things going on, to make Louisville a more interesting place, and a more, to stimulate creative.
Did you ever meet Ewell Cornett?
Yes, he came to the arts in Louisville, certainly. And I had seen him in a production before we even moved to the building at the old Carriage House Theater.
That was run by?
Doug Ramey. Mm-hmm.
And then, did you ever meet Dan Bick?
Of course, yes. Yes. And young Dan Bick, I guess, and young Bingham came back to town about the same time, and that is from being educated in the East and had ideas. I think young Bick was always interested in theater. I didn't know anything about the Block Boys, except that they were very much on the scene. And actually, see, but I didn't know how what their family backgrounds were. The father's a dentist, I believe, yeah. And so that...
In the summer of 1964, Actors Incorporated, which was an organization started by Dan and mm-hmm. Ewell, had plays in a loft. Mm-hmm. Do you remember going to any of those
plays?
Well,
it was not a loft. It was
what
a
was
fourth.
It
was, a,
was
second
it like?
Fourth of a second floor of a store down on 4th Street. There was a restaurant called Kunz's Dutchman on 4th Street, in the block where there were also a lot of theaters. You know that. And across the alley from Kunz's was this little building, which has been a hat shop and a pen shop, and I don't know what else there was. And you walked upstairs. I had a side entrance, and everybody was thinking it was kind of a fire trap. But we went anyway and saw shows, and it was a nice, intimate kind of... I guess they had it. They didn't have a proscenium. They had an arena arrangement, which was new to us. And that's all I remember. We had nothing to do with any of the organization of friends of the theater or anything. We just went.
Do you remember going to the railroad station where Actors Theater
sure.
of Louisville and seeing some of those plays?
Yes, indeed.
And seeing what the railroad station looked
yes.
like.
Yes.
Good memories of it?
Yeah, it was a handsome, I mean, for that day, it was very well adapted, and they had posters and green plants and kind of an open feeling. Of course, many of us who went there had gone to New York City in our youth for the very first time on the train leaving from the River Street station, 7th and River Station. So the station had good memories for us. And that's where we went up to New York and saw our first Broadway theater plays and fell in love with that glamorous aspect of life, which was certainly missing in Louisville at the time, where we only had road shows coming through. Good road shows now and then, but not our own resident theater was unheard of. So it was a comfortable, pleasant place.
Do you remember some of the actors and actresses who were in any of these plays?
No, I do. You mentioned Jack Johnson. I remember him. I guess I saw John Jory and his former wife there.
Later on when John came.
Well, did she come before John?
No, I think they came. I think she came when he came.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they had... a couple of seasons, and then they moved into their place on Main Street now.
Yeah, but I saw her in whatever, Red, White, and Blue Girl. Or
Star Spangled Girl.
Star Spangled Girl, mm-hmm. Absolutely adorable. Mm-hmm. And I saw John in something else. I didn't think he was such a good actor. But he was obviously a charmer. I mean, he's one arch organizer, and everywhere he spoke at churches, I had him speak at the First Unitarian Church once, I remember. And at the time, I remember trying to tell him about arts in Louisville. And I was very upset because he didn't realize that we had this background. And he wasn't, John was a wonderful speaker and a charmer. And he made you think he was going to remember your name right then, every time, everybody. Great gift. But I remember somewhat disillusioned because he didn't make the slightest effort to understand what I was saying or to establish the connection, nor does he remember still. But that man had done such a job of work on his production, I could understand it, because we, similarly, when we were in this developing stage, we don't remember all the people who'd gone behind us either, nor gave them proper credit. We were we thought we were doing our own thing. We were really building on a lot of people's efforts too. So I could both understand and forgive it, but I do remember how disappointed I was that he didn't say, "Oh yes, I remember this, hearing about the Zimmerman's Actors here and Jasper Ward's plan for the theater." He might now that he is so well ensconced and he's so good about it, I think, mentioning Richard Bloch at every turn. And the plaque on the wall. I mean, it isn't just the plaque on the wall. Richard Bloch is mentioned in every piece of official literature, which he should be, because he indeed was, there wouldn't be any Actors Theatre without him. Jory breathed life. He had the qualities to sell the idea that Richard did not. He had the quality to bring it and to produce the theatre, but as far as selling it, that's quite a different thing. So,
you had season tickets with...
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Frederick, did you
well,
say?
Well, one season at least, because I remember she was working very hard at the time. She probably had little babies, too. And she'd go to sleep about halfway through. She's a morning person. And I drink a lot of coffee. I'd stay up all night. And I would be appalled to see her. Absolutely. She would say, "That's all right. I'm listening." But she'd be falling asleep. But it was a comfortable place. And one of the wonderful things they did was, what? About the French Revolution.
You mean of one of the plays, you
mm-hmm.
mean? I wonder which season this would have been.
That very advanced...
would you recognize the name of it?
Well, it's the name of a French hero of the Revolution.
Is it this person?
No. I remember Rhinoceros, Endgame, all of the advanced things that we do, because we did at Actors Theatre, I mean at Arts in Louisville, occasionally have up in our restaurant a parlor piece of some kind of
I wonder which play that is.
And I guess John.
Maybe
Sykes
it was
would,
later on.
Well, I don't know. It was extremely. Oh no! It was at the theater. It was at the railroad station. Am I looking at the train?
Yeah. This is the railroad station.
Cool.
Do you remember seeing Ned Beatty ever? In any of the plays?
Oh yeah, I have never wanted to see Death of a Salesman since I saw Ned Beatty, and then we understood that they didn't give him good roles after it, or I don't know what it was. He got kind of disillusioned after that. Did you ever hear that?
Well, I also
Where is
think
it
he
on
was,
here?
Now, here's Death of a Salesman.
There's Death of a Salesman, okay.
Yeah.
We heard that he was going to stop acting. We all had a letter campaign to him. Don't stop acting, you're so wonderful. It was absolutely sensational.
Who started the letter campaign? Do you remember?
Maybe Mitzi Freelander. Have you talked to her?
I've talked to
yeah.
Mitzi.
Maybe she told me that
somebody
was. I could
mention that to her.
But I just remember that I wrote, and all of us wrote. It may not have been.
And did you write it to him, to the theater?
Yeah, we wrote it to him, to the theater. Well, I can't believe I can't see this thing. It's, we'll think of it later, and I'll tell you, and you can talk about it with us. Because anyway, my daughter fell in love with an actor. One of her first boyfriends was in that play at Actors Theater at the railroad station.
So it's
a French revolutionary character.
Oh, and she fell in love with the person who played that, who
one
was
of them.
In it?
Yeah, huh? Well, it was Michael Hankins who went to the Cincinnati Playhouse. Now, he would know. He'd be a good one. He's a director there, Michael Hankins. He's directed at Actors Theatre, too.
I don't know that name. That's good. That's a new name.
Uh-huh. Well, lots of links in there. And I'll say one more thing about... Do you want to ask me any more about Arts in Louisville?
Yeah, please.
Well, no, I mean, I'll say one more thing about where we live here now in Ormsby. We're right around here where all the actors live temporarily because it's close to the theater. And so it's been great fun to go to the theater and see them on stage one night and then see them walking by the next day.
And do they stay at the Mayflower?
The Mayflower, the Chateau, what it used to be called the Adams House down here.
Oh, and it's not called the Adams House anymore.
And various little apartments. Some people like Michael Gross, you know, who's gone on to great fame now, who was an actor there. And he'd pass by, if I were raking leaves, I'd say, "Oh, hi, I saw you last night, it was a great show." And he'd say, "I miss raking leaves, give me that rake." And you know, it was just always fun. Actors are fun. And in this very room, I had a wonderful tea party for the ladies who were in that wonderful play about the maids.
A long time ago, you mean? Or just recently, The Quilters?
No.
Which one?
No, it was called The Maids. It was based on Genet's plays, The Maids. It was an original play.
Okay. And you had them here?
Yes, we had a big tea party here with Ann Petoniak and all the ladies who'd been in the cast. And they reenacted this scene where they on the staircase. And so anyway, we feel very enriched by living in the neighborhood where the actors go by, as I say, even if you don't talk to them or pick up on them. You see them waiting for the bus or occasionally given rides. And so when you're at the theater and you see them downstairs after a performance, you make the connection. It's just an enrichment, definitely.
I live near here too, and I was coming home one day and I saw a performer who I had seen just the night before.
Isn't that funny? You're sitting carrying the groceries.
I was so excited, and I rolled down my window and I said, "Bravo, you did a wonderful job." I was so excited. I think he was a little taken aback.
I think they're used to it and like it though now.
But it was
if they've been here more than one season, they get used to people doing the double take and saying.
It was that play that was kind of controversial. And he took his pants down. And it was about, it was black and white and maybe in Africa.
I can't
remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. But he just did a wonderful job.
The South African play.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, do you all ever go to the Humana Festival? Have you been to those?
Yeah.
How do you say something about the Humana Festival? What you think its import is? What you've thought of it over the years?
Oh, well, it just, you know, it's just a marvelous privilege to be here to see these fantastic productions, whether you like them all or not. The whole energy and scope of the thing is just very, very exciting. And, of course, living as close as we do to the theater, Leo still doesn't go to the theater. But I go with friends, and I can be down there and, you know, 15 minutes if we decide to go one night or somebody has a ticket, because sometimes they run out of the tickets. The best plays, the minute you find out which are the best plays, they're the ones you can't get tickets for in the small theater.
In the Victor Jory.
So we do, there are all these sort of scams, or if I know an actor friend who has one of those passes for upstairs, I've used that.
Do you all go to downstairs at Actors ever, that little restaurant?
Yeah, oh sure.
That's a nice important part of it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Funny thing there is, when we had Arts in Louisville restaurants, on Monday nights we had what we call Starving Artist Night, which all the T-bone steak, everything was half price. The hamburgers were half, everything across the board on this wonderful menu was half price, and they call it Starving Artist Night. Well, you had professors from university, not so starving people, as well as kids who were trying, who didn't usually eat out restaurants. So that was Starving Artist Night. Okay, when Actors Theater opened their restaurant, they had a contest for the name of the restaurant. And dumb me, I didn't think of Starving Artists. Somebody who'd been a member at Arts in Louisville submitted Starving Artists and won the prize, and they called it Starving Artists up until last year, I think, when they now call just downstairs at Actors.
Right.
Yeah. So that's another tie-in. So yes, I do. I love to go opening night. I've always had opening night tickets. And sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes you wish they wouldn't come through if you can't think of something good to say. But they're like old friends, the whole repertory company.
Yes.
You get to know them. And there have been some high nights. All of them, of course, all the Marcia Norman opening nights have been wonderful. Marcia used to teach my daughter at the Brown School.
And no.
I invited her out here. The minute I met her, I knew this was something spectacular.
You knew she was...
Oh, yeah, she was so able. And well, whatever she was doing, the Jelly Bean Journal, she was doing the grants program for the county. And I'd have it at the Unitarian Church again. She brought her poets and people over who would, and she'd explain the program. It was a wonderful, wonderful enrichment.
And did she teach your daughter English?
Yeah, she taught her, video arts. So she was interested. We were just getting cable in, and I was on a cable commission that the mayor appointed to try to set standards. And so Marcia got interested in me. I was very flattered. I thought it was because our daughter Zori was a good student, or she'd heard of Leo and me. And I thought, well, isn't that grand? It turned out the only reason, I found out later, that she was interested in cultivating me the least bit is that she was very interested in that cable access, public access, because she had done some work on a grant down in the state in the schools. And she thought it was going to be a great thing. It would be wasted by silly, dilettante women probably like me. that was just one little aspect of the whole theater and Marcia Norman.
Do you ever remember seeing Susan Kingsley?
Oh, yeah.
Plays?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, of course. And of course, our daughter had worked with her husband.
Bob Kingsley.
Mm-hmm.
Was this at Jasper's office when she worked with Bob Kingsley? And
yeah.
Did you ever see Victor Jory on the stage?
Yes. And his wife, too.
Jean Innes.
Yes.
You mean you would see them on the elevator? Your
yeah.
Lived over there?
I was always surprised how large he. I mean, he looked small in movies, but he looked larger in the elevator. I don't know. He's a very handsome man.
Very gracious.
Very gracious.
No, I never met him.
But much better looking. It was always kind of a snarling, meanie, you know, in the movies, but he was quite a mensch. Yeah. I'll tell you who else. Do you know Betty Smith? Are you doing board members too?
Yes.
Daniels and Betty.
Yes.
Of course, they used to take him to the races all the time. They know all about.
This is the end of Side 2, Tape 1, Interview with Marie Zimmerman.